This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Audrey Raj. In the studio with me today is
Frida Liu.
And we are asking you if you've noticed a change in your workday since the pandemic. Get in touch with us at 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also join the conversation on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. So let's go to the poll on Twitter right now. We have about 36% of respondents who say, yes, they work longer hours. 9% say yes, they work shorter hours. Almost 30% say the workday is more flexible for them. And we've got 25% who say no, the workday is the same as pre-COVID times. We also have a bunch of messages.
Right. So we've got one here from my side. Said people tend to go off on time and not lingering around more in the office.
Yes, I've noticed that too.
Right. Which is, yeah, you don't want to hang around, you know, like with all this distancing going on. Eric Koh, my wife was given a laptop. She now works additional hours after she comes back from work. And after putting the kids to sleep, in addition, on weekend, she has to attend to urgent email when WhatsApped by boss.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Michael Chiang, office and home hours all meld together now. Jumping from work to housework is hectic. On the other hand, my home is a lot cleaner these days. There you go.
Silver lining.
Yeah, the bright side. Zakwa, and lunch hour is flexible, not limited to 1 to 2. You can go out for lunch anytime as long as you work for 8 hours full. Okay. Anyway, this is IB Jua Lemonade. More productive with flexible working hours. The global 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. routine is a scam. It's definitely not meant for productivity.
Ah! Okay. Looking at Instagram, we have 74% who say they are now working longer hours and 26% say they're working shorter hours. And we have a bunch of messages on Instagram as well. We've got Lion Kit who says there is no line between work and home anymore. WKM3108 says longer hours but less time wasted on the commute. I guess silver lining there as well. Lee Vals says work from home and much longer hours, while one Amira says it has become a lot less stressful, to be honest. Okay, so I guess there's a mixed bunch of messages there.
Less stressful, to be honest.
Less stressful, I guess. Maybe because, you know, you get to work in the confines of home, right?
All right.
All right, well, you know, there's still time to get in touch with us. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio, on Twitter and on Instagram. But for now, we have a story about women in the workplace.
Right, yes. So since today is also Wednesday, and on Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership, and it's Wednesday, so it's about women. And I think it's a break from the stories around COVID-19. So this is a research that's been done by McKinsey & Co. And after 5 years of research into women in the workplace, they feel that there's been real progress, but they say you still need to fix the broken rung. Okay, so to me, I call it the weak link. So what they've done with this is that they find that women continue to be underrepresented every level. So to change the numbers, companies need to focus where the real problem is. So we always talk about the glass ceiling that, you know, prevents women from entering the senior leadership position. So, but in reality, the biggest obstacle that women face is much earlier in the pipeline. So the first step up to manager. So you got to fix this weak link first, because how are you going to get that pool if the first level of entry, you're not getting the numbers?
So that's why they call it the broken rung.
The broken, yeah. So you can talk, of course, there are not enough women breaking glass in, because there isn't a large enough, it's not an equal number of pool to support this in the first place, right? So, and all that, the culture works equally important, right? So I think all employees should feel respected and that they have an equal opportunity to grow and advance. I think that's a given. So done right, efforts to hire and promote more diverse candidates can create a strong culture, reinforce each other. And I think even looking at where we are, we're quite equally represented, right? I mean, I think we do are quite diverse, right, in terms of the culture of the people working here, men, women, all sorts, you know, different racial groups and all that. But I think let's get to solution mode, right, where what companies can do to fix this broken rung and ultimately their pipeline. So you get that, you get the pipeline going. And one is to set a goal for getting more women into first level management. And you have to have targets, right? So you've got to have that in place first and not say, hey, what happened at the top? We don't have enough.
Yeah.
You know, so you really have to have targets at this level for women to be managers, then we can
nurture them and
move them up the career ladder, right? And it says the second thing is require diverse slates for hiring positions. So when they say diverse slates, like when you look at all these people applying for jobs, right, is it diverse enough, right? Are we getting, is it more male, more female? Like even when we try to have our events, right, we look at the panelists, How come there's no woman representation? Yeah. Right? Simple things like that, right? So when two or more women are included on the slate, the likelihood the woman will get the position rises dramatically. Right, just the fact that there are more, you know, two or more women on the slate in that the selection, right, in the selection, right?
Interesting.
Put evaluators through unconscious bias training.
Right? Yes.
So, you know, because we are not conscious of it, right? So, and this is something that I think people don't know, and so it's maybe things that are done not out of malice because they just don't know that they're being biased in the first place. So go through that training, right? The other thing is to establish clear evaluation criteria. So, and it shows that, how are they evaluated and all that. Outside research shows that it can help to have a third party in the room where evaluators discuss candidates to highlight potential bias and encourage objectivity. I think this goes hand in hand with a bias training. So when you're going through interviews and all that sort of thing, right? Get a third party sitting in there, right? Who say, did you notice you were saying this or that kind of thing? So the outside party can look at it objectively and make you aware of your unconscious bias during the interview process or during the evaluation process, right? And put more women in line for the step up to manager. And that's very simple. Just getting more women there, thinking of people. The report went on to a couple of things as well. And one of which is called sponsorship, right? And where the onus is also on the women to find a sponsor, to as not just a mentor, a sponsor where they talk to a particular manager and says, I want your job or I'm looking for this job or you know, for this position to go up to, and find someone who will support you on that journey, right? So you don't expect your managers to just look out for you. You also, as the individual, man or woman, to sound out, right?
And I think, to put your hand up.
I think research has shown that men are more likely to look for that sponsor than women, right? So women, you got to speak up as well.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you need more information on this report by McKinsey, you know, we will tag it onto our podcast, which you can find on the BFM website, bfm.my, also on the BFM app. Coming up, we have another story about women in leadership. This time, we're going to be talking about Kamala Harris. Mm. Stay tuned. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.